open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And thank you for being here today. And if you have not finished breakfast, man, you go right ahead and do that. John Maxwell is a leader who trains other Christian leaders. When I was in my early 30s, I was thrust into a large church situation. I was way in over my head. I've been in over my head ever since I got in the ministry. You know, it's an awesome thing to try to lead a church. And I needed help. And I started studying his materials. I have listened and I have learned from John Maxwell for 3 decades. Two of his most famous, prominent statements are these. Number one, leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Leadership is influence. Secondly, everything rises and falls on leadership. And I believe those statements are true. They're not in the Bible, but they are biblical. They're true. Our nation is in desperate need of godly leadership. Democrats, Republicans, independents, we are in trouble. And we need godly leadership. We need for God to raise up a Samuel. I don't know what to pray for first, a Samuel or a Hannah who will beget a Samuel. I'm hoping it'll come quicker than somebody have to grow up. So I'm praying for both, either. On Thursday mornings, we're studying about Samuel. He was the last judge of Israel. The time of the judges was a time of spiritual rottenness. The last verse in the book of Judges summarizes that time, and it's almost like somebody wrote the description of our nation. Judges 21:25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Read the last part with me, please. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. How many of you believe that's like America right now? The nation of Israel was caught up in this horrific societal cycle, and it was like this. The people would drift away from the Lord. I want to say this to you. When you start drifting, when you're not intentionally focused on the Lord, you don't drift toward the Bible. You drift away from the Bible. You don't drift toward God. You have to intentionally go after God. You drift toward yourself and your sin. And that's what was happening. The Lord would then discipline his rebellious people, allowing other nations more wicked than them to persecute them. And then the Bible says the people of Israel would suffer for a length of time. Finally, they would repent of their sins, cry out to God, and God would send a judge. The 12 judges mentioned in the book of Judges are Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Tola, Jai, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, and Samson. You only know of a few of those people. And then in 1 Samuel, we see the last two judges, Eli and Samuel. Samuel is the man we're studying. The last of the judges, one of the first of the great prophets. The other judges who judged over a relatively small area section of Israel. But as we'll see today, Samuel's judgment was broader because he was the first prophet in Israel since Moses. In fact, when you read Deuteronomy 18, it says there's another prophet coming. Ultimately, that would be fulfilled in Jesus. But the direct prophecy of that was fulfilled in Samuel. Samuel was that prophet that would follow Moses, and God was doing something unusual in Samuel's day. He was taking them, pulling them out of the miry clay of the time of the judges, and he was going to put them into the monarchy where Saul and David, ultimately, the man after God's own heart, would be the ruler. And he would anoint both of them. So he's a very, very important figure. This sweet mother, we studied last week, Hannah, she prayed for this child. He was born. She dedicated him to the Lord completely. We're going to chapter 3 today. We're skipping chapter 2. I would encourage you to go back and look at chapter 2. Hannah's song that she thanked God for Samuel, it's so much like Mary's song when she sang thanking God for Jesus. The wickedness, then you also see this contrast, this precious young boy that's going to love God. He's compared with the two evil sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. They took the best of the offerings for themselves. They made people not want to worship God. People got sick of their hypocrisy and their sexual immorality and their greediness. And they said, we don't even want anything to do with it. But Samuel would come along and show them what a true man of God was all about. Samuel's earliest days are mentioned in chapter 2 as he was working his priestly work at Shiloh. Eli's blessing for Hannah as she would come back to see her little boy. Every year she'd come see her little boy that she had dedicated to the Lord when he was 3 years old. And she would bring him a little clothing to wear. You know, can't you just see this mother just so proud and hadn't seen her son all year long and walks up and there he is a year older and she dedicated him to the Lord. Every year Eli would pray over and she'd go back and get pregnant. She had more children. She had 5 more children. And Eli blessed her. 3 sons, 2 daughters. Eli then is too little too late confronting his sons Hophni and Phinehas who are sleeping with the girls that are helping with the offerings. And an unknown prophet comes in at the end of chapter 2 and tells Eli, not only is God going to wipe you out, he's going to wipe out your whole family. I want to say this to you. One of the main reasons you need to walk with the Lord is because of your future generations. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if it's not of God, stop it, because your sin doesn't just affect you, it affects your future generations. His whole family was cursed because of him, Eli. That brings us to chapter 3, when God calls a leader. Number 1, when God calls a leader, God calls the improbable. God doesn't call the biggest, the best, and all that kind of stuff. God calls people that you look at them and you say, that's it? Lord, that's the guy you chose? You ever remember Paul writing and said, you know, a lot of y'all don't think I'm very impressive in my, you know, appearance, but I want you to know I got the power of God on me. God chooses people that we would never choose. Look at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel, that's when God chose him, was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Eli was an old man. Samuel was just a boy. God chose the boy over the old man. Several times it talked about him being a boy. 1 Samuel 2:18. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. 1 Samuel 2:21, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:26, now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor with both the Lord and with men. God chose someone polar opposite of Eli regarding age. Samuel was only 3 years old when he went to assist Eli, but the two must have bonded well in spite of the age difference. It's interesting that the Lord called a child to replace a senior adult. Most of us wouldn't have done that. But God's ways are not our ways. Let me just tell you, man, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. And before you get too, you know, bragging about your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. By the time you got God figured out, you better get him out of your box. It's just like God to call a child to replace an old man. God calls the improbable people who wouldn't be chosen otherwise. Why? The scripture tells us why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, the base things of the world, and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. How many of you feel unworthy, improbable? I got my hands up. Hey, God can use us. It's big shots that God won't use. You got to get little enough for God to use you. If you feel like God needs you, if you feel like you're very gifted, if you feel like you're very capable, if you feel like you can do great things for God, God's not calling you. But if you're feeling substandard, inferior, inadequate, second-rate, unworthy, guess what? God might be calling you to be a leader. He calls the improbable. He also calls the diligent. God likes people that work. Look at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Ministering to the Lord. A lot of times nowadays we think about ministering to other people. We might think about God ministering to us, but do you ever think about ministering to him? In fact, he ministered to the Lord. That was a priority in his life. The same verses that say that he was a boy said he ministered to the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:18 again. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. 1 Samuel 2:21, the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:26, now Samuel, the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. Ministering to the Lord, he was helping keep the candles lit at night, the candle there in the tabernacle. It had seven lamps on it. He put the oil in it right before night. He would watch that during the night. And we know this was a night vision that he would have because the lights were about to go out. So sometime during the night, God spoke to him. But he would take care of that. He would take care of other things because Eli had gotten old. Just like a lot of y'all, I'm going to say this to you. A lot of y'all think, what do you do all week, Brother Steve? What do you do? I mean, all you do is work one day a week. I mean, what's going on? I remember when David Coombs came on staff, he said, you know, what's there to do? And after about a month, he said, my soul. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me. I love it. But I'm just saying there's always work to do around the church, and there's always work to do around the tabernacle. So he was a worker. He was diligent. He was helping aging Eli with a variety of chores. He was a diligent worker. That's the kind of person that God will choose. And it's such a contrast with Eli's sons. They were greedy and irreverent. 1 Samuel 2:12 and 13 says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Men of Belial. Fools is what it means. They did not know the Lord, the custom of the priest, and the custom of the priest with the people. They were also sexually immoral. 1 Samuel 2:22, Eli was very old. He heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. But not young, holy, pure Samuel. He was beloved by God and the people who came to Shiloh to worship the Lord. He faithfully and diligently carried out his service for the Lord. And I feel compelled to say something right now. Don't flirt with anybody at your workplace. If you're doing that, stop. The Bible says, flee from youthful lusts. It doesn't say youthful people flee. It says all people flee from youthful lust. You can be 80 years old and have youthful lust. Flee from it. There's some sins you don't fight, you run. That's the way you fight it. He faithfully carried out the service. 1 Samuel 2:26, the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. God will use you too if you'll just be a diligent worker. You know, nowadays, if you'll just show up on time, you'll be ahead of 50% of the people. Amen? It's so easy to be in the top tier nowadays. And if you'll just show up and be there. I mean, just showing up with a good attitude and stay till it's time to go home. You know, some I've gone to some places, they say, well, they get out at 5 o'clock. If you start walking, you'll get run over at 5 o'clock. They're trying to get out of it. Go a little early, stay a little bit late, do your job. You'll rise to the top. People don't know how to work anymore. God calls the diligent. Just be steady, be diligent, be a hard worker, do your service for the Lord as unto the Lord. God will bless you. And then God also calls leaders that are available. Look at verse 2. It happened at that time that Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim. He could not see well. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. That is the tabernacle where the ark of God was. You can't help but see the contrasting imagery here. Eli is lying down in his place, but Samuel's lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That's where Eli's wicked son should have been, but that's where little Samuel was. Also note the imagery. Eli's eyesight had begun to grow dim. He couldn't see well. He couldn't see well spiritually either. He couldn't see well as a parent. He spoiled his boys. I want to say this to you. If you spoil your children, their blood will be on your hand. You can't give them everything. You know, God sometimes wants you to go through hard times. That's when you start leaning on God. And you are not their God. Help them some, yes, but don't spoil them. Eli couldn't see well. Remember back in chapter 1, he saw Hannah and thought she was drunk when she was praying. Chapter 2, he saw his sons being immoral. He didn't rebuke them. His vision physically and spiritually was impaired. He could no longer hear a word from God, but little, holy, righteous Samuel could. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. He said, "Here I am." He ran to Eli. He said, "Here I am. You called me." But he said, I didn't call you. Lie down again. He went and he lay down again. The Lord called yet again. "Samuel." So Samuel rose, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." He said, "I didn't call you, my son." Notice how tender that is. "Lie down again." Called him son. He wishes that he had had sons like little Samuel. Keeps hearing the voice. Eli hadn't heard that voice in a long time. He didn't think God could still speak to people like that. There's a lot of people nowadays, you talk about God speaking to you, they'll look at you like you're crazy. You're crazy. What are you talking about? God speaking to you out of the Bible. What are you talking about? God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? Samuel was about to be called to be a prophet. He had not had an encounter with God yet. He'd been near the things of God, but he didn't know God. You can get close to God and miss him. Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. He kissed Jesus, he went to hell. Look at verse 7. Samuel didn't know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. He arose, he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." He's pronounced you, and he said, "Come on, man. Quit messing with me, I'm tired." And Eli's saying, "Come on, son, quit messing with me." And then all of a sudden, whoa. Whoa. Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. All of a sudden, this slow guy discerns that God is speaking. He gave him instructions. Verse 9, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. It shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down again. Now watch what happened. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood. He stood. Look at me. He didn't just hear the Lord this time. He saw the Lord. What did Isaiah say? I saw the Lord, high and lifted up. He sees some form. Somehow he knew this was God. And he hears. And then God called him, as at other times. The Lord called all three times, but this time he stood. Samuel heard, he saw. The Lord was standing like he stood when Stephen was stoned to death. Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. He left out Lord, but he was about to receive him as Lord and become a follower. Here I am, I'm available, I'm ready. Private Samuel reporting for duty. God calling a boy to be a prophet didn't make sense, did it? Things hadn't been done that way before. The last prophet Israel had was Moses. He was 80 years old. God's going to call a boy to be a prophet? God's going to call a boy 12 years old? That's insane. God's ways aren't our ways. Are you available to God? Do you give God a blank check and say, whatever you want? Some of us are too comfortable. Maybe God has something totally different for your life. We seek comfort. God seeks Christ likeness. And we need to go and just hand God a blank check and say, God, whatever you want, not my will, but thine be done. As the mother of Jesus said, behold, I am the bondservant of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, if you want to move me around, if you want me to stay right here, that's not my decision, Lord. Whatever you want. Some of you think God's through with you because you've reached a certain age. Don't tell Moses that. He was 80 when God started working in his life. Amen. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's all say that together. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God calls the available. Very quickly, God calls the teachable. You can't know everything and God use you. Look at verse 11. The first word to Samuel was a doozy. Then the Lord said to Samuel, he's going to teach him some things. He said, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. God says, I'm about to hit so loud that it's going to be deafening. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. The Lord wasn't merely going to punish Eli. It was going to affect Eli's future generations. All of this was simply God confirming what he had said to Eli through an unknown prophet back in chapter 2. Verse 13, for I've told him that I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves. He did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Hophni and Phinehas had despised, made a mockery out of God's offering. Now God says, I will not accept their offering. I will despise their offering. What if you put money in the plate this Sunday and God threw it back in your face? What if you wrote a big check, you know, and you put it there and God said, I don't need your money. Hey, look at me. God doesn't need anybody in this room, including me. It is only by the grace of God that any of us, are you teachable? God was teaching young Samuel a very tough lesson. Hophni and Phinehas had crossed a line from grace to judgment. They had sinned away their day of grace. They'd used up all their grace. God was through with them. I don't know when that is, but I want to tell you something. You can mess around long enough where God says, okay, that's it. God still does that. Now, if you have any tenderness in your heart toward the Lord, whatever, he hasn't done that. Because when he writes you off, he hardens your heart. So if your heart is open to the Lord at all, man, whatever, if you hear the voice of the God, do whatever he's telling you to do. God calls the teachable. God calls the straightforward. Look at verse 15. It was time for Samuel to share the first word God gave him, and it was tough. He's a little boy. He's about to have to rebuke his older mentor. But he delivered the whole message. So Samuel lay down until morning. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am. What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me." And then he threatens him. It's an imprecatory statement here. He says, "May God do so to you. Whatever God said he's going to do to me, may he do so to you." He already knew that God was mad at him. "May he do so to you more if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." He's trying to intimidate the little boy. So it's really sad. You have this high priest unable to hear the word of the Lord. You have a preacher that can't hear from God. So he's having to beg and threaten a 12-year-old boy to tell him what God's saying. That's pretty sad. Samuel delivered the message word for word. He didn't cut any corners. He didn't hold anything back. He spoke the word of the Lord. So Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him. Verse 18, he said, "It's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Eli knew the Lord well enough that he knew, "It's out of my hands." Samuel was afraid, but he delivered the whole word of God. I believe with all of my heart that if we had more straightforward teaching and preaching of the Word of God, not rude, not calloused, not mean-spirited, I'm not talking about that, but if we would just have people open up the Bible and preach, explain the text, illustrate it, and then apply it, just say what the Bible says. For some reason, I think about if we had 10,000 preachers that would do that from Maine to Florida to Texas to California to Washington, Minnesota, back to Maine, all across America, Alaska, and Hawaii. I just think somehow God would pour out his spirit upon this nation. If we could have some straightforward preaching. I want to say this to you. I think that as it gets darker spiritually, I think people are going to be drawn to places where they can hear the Word of God. I love what W.A. Criswell said. He had a rich lady in his church walk up to him at First Baptist Dallas, and she said, "Dr. Criswell, the man that you had preached last week while you were gone, he could not use good English. He kept saying, 'I seen this and I seen that.'" Criswell looked back at her and he said, "Lady, I'd rather have a man like that say, 'I seen this and I seen that,' than have somebody come in there and say, 'He's seen something, he ain't seen nothing.'" We need some people that will just share the Word of God. You don't have to yell, you don't have to scream. Now, I'll be frank with you, when you preach it, it's exciting. We live in a nation that calls evil good and good evil. We don't need preacherettes. We don't need sermonettes, preach to Christianettes. We need prophets. Call it straightforward. Last thing, God calls the faithful. Then Samuel grew. The Lord was with him. Let none of his words fall. What that means is every prophecy he spoke came true. That's the litmus test in the Bible for a true prophet. What they say comes true. And I watch this. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. You see, the other judges only ruled in one little area. Now, he was a judge and a prophet. And he judged three towns, and then he'd go back to his home. You can read about that in the Bible. But he was a prophet. And everybody from Dan, that's the northernmost part of Israel, down to Beersheba, that's the southernmost part. Everybody knew, this guy is the real deal. If it wasn't for Samuel, we had gotten so turned off about worshiping Yahweh from Hophni and Phinehas and Eli. Eli, the old fat man that, you know, wouldn't take care of his boys. Hophni and Phinehas, the guys sleeping around, stealing our offerings for themselves, burning our offerings for them, and cooking our offerings on their own fires instead of for the Lord. But you know, this young guy, Samuel, he's the real deal. We're going to follow the Lord. See, when people see they don't have to see perfection, because you're not perfect and Samuel wasn't either, but they have to see the Lord in you if you're going to lead. I don't care if it's a Sunday school class, life group, discipleship group, whatever it might be. If you're going to lead, you got to walk with God. You got to have the anointing of God. Let me tell you how you get the anointing of God: to spend time with God behind closed doors when nobody's watching. When you walk out, you got the same glow that Moses had. When they would see that glow on his face, they knew he'd been in the presence of God. And let me tell you something: you don't have to go around telling people you've been praying. You don't have to tell everybody that. You just got to go do it and come out with the glow of God on you. Favor of God on you. People say, I want some of that. I'm coming to hear that. I don't want to have to beg you to come to this thing every morning. It's not easy to get up in the morning. But you know what? I'd rather get up and come together and talk with you about the Word of God so that God can change our lives and make us men of God and leaders than to sit at home and get a little bit more sleep. We're in a mess. We need help. Rise up, oh men of God. Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again. Ah, God came back. God came back to church at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And then go to chapter 4, verse 1, and look at this. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. How did we start? Chapter 3, verse 1, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. One chapter later, chapter 4, verse 1, thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. What's the difference between 3:1 and 4:1? A man of God. A man of God. And notice, if you look at that, the word of the Lord is now the word of Samuel. God is in Samuel, speaking the word of God. God had sovereignly, supernaturally started to work again. Oh God, give us a Samuel in our nation. Give us a Samuel in England like you gave them when you gave them Wesley and Whitfield. God, give us a Samuel like you did when you gave us Billy Graham. Give us somebody that will lead us out of the miry clay, so that our feet can be set on a rock, so that you can put a new song in our heart, a song of praise to our God, that we won't be following the Baals, but we will be following Jesus. Oh God, I don't claim to know everything, but I know this. We need the Lord. And we need godly leadership.